Yet even at the grave we make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. What could we possibly have to sing about at the grave? Even a passing glance at the texts in your service bulletin makes clear the absolute terror and uncertainty with which humankind has approached death since time immemorial. Deliver, O Lord Jesus, the souls of all faithful departed from the punishments of hell and from the deep lake. Deliver them from the mouth of the lion, lest Tartarus swallow them up, lest they fall into darkness. Of course, it's the uncertainty, it's the not knowing that's really at the root of this fear. Can we trust God to hold us in death as in life? Or will the tether break? It's every lover's fear of abandonment and loss, the self-fulfilling prophecy of a love too good to be true, a fragile love based on the merits of the beloved rather than the relentless affection of the lover. And we fear we'll find ourselves on the short end of that stick. So better to be cynical, harsh even. Easier to plan for the worst than to hope for the best. Yet the gospel promise is so abundantly clear, it should be easy to remember, of course, though it is tragically simple to forget. And it's this forgetting, it's this amnesia that makes room for the fear and the doubt. Does love endure forever? Can life persist eternally? Do we remember his words, or have we forgotten them? That Jesus tells us to remember every time we gather at the table suggests there's a very real danger in forgetting. Perhaps it's the danger of forgetting facts and faces, but the urgency with which Jesus commands our remembrance suggests the danger is far more significant than that. That Jesus uses vines and branches to describe our life with God indicates that he understands each life to be part of a greater whole, part of the main, as Dunn puts it, and that to forget this fundamental truth puts us in danger of being disconnected, dismembered, as it were, the only remedy for which is, of course, to be remembered, reattached to the vine that draws from the waters of life, reincorporated into the body that defeated death once for all, and in which we share life eternally, despite the impermanence of our own lives. The assurance afforded by this faith aims to quell the fear of death, the anxiety of separation and isolation, the ever-present questions to which religion provides this timeless answer. You have nothing to fear, no reason to worry. Remember, and you will never die. Remember, and you will never be alone. So as we come together this evening to remember all our faithful departed, we do so both as an act of defiance against a culture of amnesia, having generally forgotten who we are and why we're here, and as an act of assurance for those who intuit something more to life than mere self-interest and self-preservation. It's John's gospel that gives us this beautiful ecological language for life with God, in fact, life in God, of abiding with one another, us in God and God in us, sharing a life by virtue of faith. And the Jesus of John's gospel makes the case that we attain to eternal life not by any heroic action of our own, but by hearing and by believing and by trusting in the loving action of God on our behalf. A God who seeks us out and who finds us. A God who loves us. A God who makes us eternal members of his risen body. A God whose love guides us waking and guards us sleeping. John assures us it is by hearing and believing and trusting in Jesus that we ourselves pass with Jesus from death to life, and that we share that victory in this life as well as the next. There's a deep peace, he tells us, a peace that passes all our understanding, that comes with knowing one's place in the economy of God's love, an economy that places immeasurable value on the dignity and worth of each part, an economy of love that has more than enough currency to go around, more than enough life to raise the dead, more than enough light to enlighten the world. It's our place and our participation in God's economy of love that gives life its enduring meaning and purpose. A meaning and purpose that both precedes and pushes through the grave. An economy deep within the heart of God in which all the faithful, both the living and the dead, participate by way of remembrance, by way of thanks and praise, by way of finding one another again in these thin times and this thin place around all our holy tables, the living and the dead, singing together with the angels and archangels, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might." Life is changed, we believe, not ended. Life is changed, we believe, not ended. Having once been knit together, even death cannot tear us asunder. Nothing and no one is lost in the changing from one season of life to the next. But it's hard to remember, and it's easy to forget. With so much in our lives that's disrupted and divided, even the love of God is stretched and strained, and the soft assurances of God's justice and peace, of God's unity and diversity, come to sound more fanciful than real, more projection than promise. It's when our confidence wanes that we turn away from the world and in on ourselves. That's when we forget who we are and why we're here. And that is when the fear sets in. And that's precisely the time each year then when we return to the gravesides of our lives with song, not denying or hiding our anxieties from God, but singing them as a full-throated confession of our forgetfulness. Having been held in the heart of God throughout our lives, we wonder if that same love can hold us through death. Do we have reason to doubt or reason to have confidence? Will we be people who forget or people who remember? The answer matters, of course, in this life as much as the next. For we are called as people of faith to join with Jesus in the pattern of laying our lives down, of dying the little deaths to everything that keeps us from sharing in the fullness of life God promises to us. But it is faith that lets go. It is fear that clings. Like the trapeze artist who trains tirelessly to overcome the instinct to self-preservation in the face of real danger, we too train daily to push through our instinct to cling, to stay put, to refuse the risky letting go required of us, to really take hold of the life God has waiting for us. You may have noticed the days are shortening, the temperatures are dropping, the leaves have for the most part fallen to the ground. Ask most anyone and you'll catch an earful of grief and anxiety, sadness about what's been left behind, fear about what is coming. It's predictable though, and to the degree that it's universal, it is wonderfully comical. But the perennial transition provides its own reminder that though the seasons change, life persists. Though the leaves have fallen, the days have shortened, there is tender accommodation now in the treetops where the limited light is now free to touch the ground. And those leaves that once captured the sun in the summer now nourish the soil in the fall. And the tree that worked tirelessly to thrive during the growing season now rests quietly in the winter until the first warming of spring. Life is changed, we believe, not ended. As with the world around us, so with the world among us. So too even with the world within us. Life and death go hand in hand. They are two sides of the very same coin, bound to each other in God's economy of love. And we, the church, bear witness that the bridge between the two can and must be built even now, lest we all die in fear rather than living in hope. It's the church, we're told, this wonderful and sacred mystery that lives today as the risen body of Christ, collectively and each individually within her. And we're assured of bearing within us the same memory of having once defeated death and having risen victorious from the grave and having offered a way for others, indeed, to share this victory with us. We, who have defeated death in this lifetime, give thanks for those who've gone before us. For those who've given word, for those who've given witness to life's enduring strength against all the forces of death, those same who now reach back to us in this holy festival with words of assurance. Remember, do not forget, life is about letting go, trusting God's love to hold us, never lose us. And so now may we, the faithful, joining with all souls and all saints, hurtling through the air from one season of life to the next, rest in the daily assurance that, like the leaves on the ground around us, our own daily return to the dust is indeed reason for song. For sorrow and pain are no more, neither sighing, but life everlasting. Finally, freedom from fear. Finally, a peace that passes all our understanding. Alleluia, alleluia. Hallelujah.